Thanksgiving week, as was said earlier, it's kind of snuck up on us. It snuck up on me. I was in short sleeves and shorts not too long ago, and suddenly you're in long pants and jackets, and it's predictably winter. Fall winter has arrived just a little bit later this year. We experienced a long extended summer, but after this last storm, the leaves are mostly off the trees, and we know, and it was cold this morning, as was already mentioned. Thanksgiving holiday is traditionally the time when we get together with family and with friends and to enjoy a meal and to give thanks. And I have many wonderful memories growing up of our family and our extended family gathering around the table. And that may have been your experience too, or maybe not. Maybe it was different, but big extended family gatherings and some really hilariously funny stories around a Thanksgiving meal, right? And we just had a great time. And I know that's not everybody's experience, but that was mine and that was ours. And so we're going to gather this Thursday, probably most of us, for a huge meal and a little bit of football. If they'll restore the internet to our home, that'd be great. And some great conversation, you know. You don't realize how, when the internet goes down in your house, you don't realize you can't even adjust a slide for the announcements and put a little graphic. I had to type in, Happy Thanksgiving. It'd be nice to have a little graphic I could put. Nope, doesn't exist without the internet. There's out there somewhere, but Happy Thanksgiving. That's what you get today because there's no internet. And you know that we listen to Worship Set on YouTube every Sunday morning, and nope, only on the phone. You stream it. Just a little tinny, you know, here's Keith and Kristen Getty with a little tinny worship, and it was weird. I'm telling you, it was funny. But you know, this Thanksgiving tradition goes all the way back, and our presidents over the years always make a Thanksgiving proclamation. And John F. Kennedy made one back in 1962, and he said this, over three centuries ago, our forefathers in Virginia and in Massachusetts, far from home in a lonely wilderness, set aside a time of thanksgiving. On the appointed day, they gave reverent thanks for their safety, for the health of their children, for the fertility of their fields, for the love which bound them together, and for the faith which united them with their God. And he said that, I think it was the Thanksgiving before he was assassinated. His proclamation, if you look at it, kind of centers around faith and family. And somehow, though, in the culture we have today, the family is under attack like never before. It's been fragmented. And for many families, joining together is just not the same this year. The pandemic caused a rift in a lot of families, and thankfully, that's mostly in the rearview mirror for almost everybody. We ran into somebody this week and had a meal with them, and they said, you know, it's been a tough time for our family. The last time we gathered together, they said, you're welcome to come, but could you just stay out in the garage and not come and mingle with the rest of the family? And I'm scratching my head going, that's not right. That doesn't seem right. And it's been difficult. Joining together for some is just not the same. Thankfully, for the most part, like I said, it's behind us, but the hurt and brokenness of fractured relationships still remains. And this Thanksgiving, the cost of everything has gone up. How many of you have shopped for the meal already for this coming week? Oh, my goodness. My goodness. A jellied can of cranberry sauce is like, whew. How are we going to afford the Thanksgiving meal that we're so accustomed to? The news reports say that layoffs are just around the corner. Recession is looming. That's what they say. They say you can expect harder times, and many will say that. And for many, perhaps some here, even this morning, having a grateful and a thankful heart is difficult. It's just difficult this year. Yet as Christians, we must remind ourselves that God is still God. He's on the throne. Our relationship with Him, if you're a Christian, our relationship with Him is secure, regardless of what the price of whatever is. And we can confidently look forward with thankfulness and gratitude for this Thanksgiving season. This morning, rather than a traditional three-point sermon with a wrap-up and stuff like that, I'd like to walk us through a series of scriptures to remind us of the goodness of God and our desire to be grateful and thankful and to be a church that is grateful and thankful. So let's remind ourselves this morning from the Word of God, the blessings that we enjoy and the posture we should have as we enter into this Thanksgiving week, even in the midst of difficult times. This morning, I've decided to take all of my scriptures from the New Living Translation. Thank you, Dennis, for reading that chapter from the New Living Translation, because it kind of gives a fresh approach to it, because we haven't, not a lot of us haven't heard it a lot in that or memorized it in that, and so you just go, oh, this is good. So I've gone with the New Living today. It kind of flows better and presents these familiar passages in a fresh way. So here we go. You ready? Always thankful. Always thankful. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and he said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Thank him for all he's done. What an exhortation and what a challenge. Don't worry about anything. Okay, that's hard. That's difficult. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. You know, when we make our request known to God, it's not a one-sided thing where we just lob him request after request. He's actually taking those requests and answering those requests. It's not a vain exercise of just praying about everything and just offering it to God. He's actually moving and answering those requests. And we pray and we thank him for all he's doing and will do in our lives. Some of the things that we're supposed to be thankful for, we already heard from the open mic. He called us. He saved us. He placed you in the biological family that he placed you in. He directed you to a loving church family. He knows what you need even before you ask it. And some would say, well, then why even ask? If he knows what we need, why even ask? Because he's doing something in our hearts by our asking that wouldn't be accomplished if we didn't ask. And I would think he's waiting for us to ask before he moves. It's very important that we ask. Paul still says, tell God what you need and thank him for his provision. That is so counterculture right now. That's not how the world works. Just give it up to God, thank him for what he's going to do. The world can offer a metaphor, a kind of a sympathetic shoulder to cry on. Oh, you poor thing, this is so difficult. Look on the bright side, they say. Things are going to be better. Suck it up. That's what the world has to offer. Nothing of a biblical perspective on giving everything over to God and being thankful. It's much deeper than that. God has made a way for you and I to come to him through Jesus Christ with our needs. The writer to Hebrews then says, how do you come to him? How do you bring these requests to him? Writer to the Hebrews says this, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Come boldly. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. God says to boldly bring your requests, your concerns, your hurts to him. He says, I want to hear them. He says, I'm a gracious God. When you come boldly, his mercy and grace are found there. What are you boldly praying for this Thanksgiving? Anybody praying a bold prayer? I pray that you are, and we need to be praying bold prayers. Maybe you're praying for an unsaved relative, somebody you've prayed for year after year after year and still has rejected the truth of the gospel. Maybe you're praying, as was said from the open mic, for righteousness to prevail in our country. Maybe you're praying for opportunities to share the hope of the gospel with someone this week. Maybe you're praying that broken relationships will be restored as you gather together. All of these and many more require boldly bringing our requests before God. He wants to hear them. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. We know that our help comes from the Lord. Psalm 121, 1 and 2. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I read that and I just go, you know what that tells us? We need to look vertically first before we look horizontally. Not that God can't meet a need this direction, but our first place is to go vertically first. I look to the mountains. I love the mountains. I'm a mountain person. When I was growing up in Central California, we would every summer, a group of us would go hiking in the Sierra Nevadas, Kings Canyon, Sequoia. Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. But as beautiful as those mountains were, I knew as a high schooler, as a Christian, that that's not where my help came from. It was restful. It was exciting to go up to the mountains. We had some great fellowship up there. But that's not where my help comes from. My help comes from the one who made the mountains. Actually, it says, my help comes from the one who made all the heavens and all the earth. I'm grateful that as Christians, we're eternally connected to the one who made heaven and earth. That's both comforting to me, and I hope it is to you, and reassuring, and a reason to be thankful. God reminds us in Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. God has promised that he's going to be with us. How is he going to be with us? With the indwelling Holy Spirit. Because of that, he will hold us, he will strengthen us, and help us. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, holding you tightly to him, regardless of what's happening around you. And you can be thankful that the Holy Spirit is doing that, because in your own strength, you wouldn't hold on yourself. You'd give up. You'd give up. You'd despair. God says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up. Some may say, when, Lord? When are you going to uphold and help? When are you going to hold me up? The things that I'm facing are pressing into me. They're difficult. They're hard. I've been praying for these things for a long, long time, Lord. Why haven't you answered? Some might even say, it's really hard to be thankful right now. I know you're talking about thankfulness, and I should be thankful. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, it's really hard to be thankful for what this or that reason. I think the psalmist knows that desperation when he says in Psalm 71, please, God, rescue me. Please, God, rescue me. Come quickly, Lord, and help me. So often we're impatient to want God's answers to our prayers that we've prayed over a period of time. But as we have seen in the life of Joseph, we don't always get things right away. God has a purpose in the delays. He's doing something in the delays. Most of the time, we don't know why the delays are occurring. Why aren't you answering quicker, Lord? This relationship is broken. I want to make this relationship right. It's not happening, or a specific thing that you're praying for. We do know that God's at work, and that he's working in more than just me and you. Had a pastor say one time, it's not original with him, I'm sure. God's doing 1,000 things at one time. And I would say it's multiplied 10, 50, 100 times more than 1,000 things, because he's God. God's at work even when our prayers aren't getting answered, or he's working to change how and what we pray for to make those more in line with his will. So the psalmist writes again, help me, O Lord my God. Save me because of your unfailing love. Let them see that this is your doing, that you yourself have done it. This is your doing, God. This is your timeline. It's yours. Help me, save me. And if you could do it now, that would sure be helpful, Lord. So often we want God to give us the answer we want, and we want it right now. But God doesn't move to our whims. He doesn't move to our command or our timeline. God's righteous, and he knows what you and I need, when we need it, and in what way that we need it, even better than we do. We know, and we sang about it, that God is working on our behalf, but perhaps not according to our time schedule. Romans 8, very familiar passage. But in the New Living, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. God is omniscient. He knows all of our hearts. He knows all of our hearts. I'm so thankful that when I pray and when you pray, that He takes those, the Holy Spirit takes those prayers and pleads for us to the Father in harmony with God's will. Ever think about that? You're praying for something, and in faith you're believing, and He kind of says, no, it's actually this that I want you to be praying for. And then He kind of redirects our prayers and changes our hearts to more align with His will. And we keep praying, and He keeps working that way to be in line with His purposes. So this Thanksgiving week, we remind ourselves that our hope and our help are in God. With that hope, Paul writes to the Colossians. He says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Devote yourselves to prayer. Can I encourage you to make prayer a part of your Thanksgiving gathering? Not just words of thanks and appreciation for around the table, but making prayer a part of that Thanksgiving day together. As we pray and watch, we will see God work for our good and for His glory. Two exhortations as it relates to praying together and kind of focusing our attention. Can I encourage you, just maybe once a month, come to pre-service prayer, 9:15. For some, that's absolutely impossible, and I totally get it. For others, it's maybe an opportunity to sleep in a little bit longer and show up right at 10. But would you consider just once a month to showing up at 9:15? We're going to be back in the back room there. We pray for the service, all aspects of the service. We pray for the needs that we're aware of in the body. We pray for the churches around us. We pray for those ministries that we support as a church. But maybe just once a month. Don't have to come every week. Maybe just once a month. You could just say, you know, I'm going to set my alarm 30 minutes earlier and I'll join the people back here in the back room there, and we're going to pray for our service. It's really where our service begins. It's not the call to worship, because it really begins back there as we do that. So not to put a guilt trip on you, and you say, I can't do that, it's impossible. That's okay. But some of you, as I'm saying this, say, I could do that once a month. I could come a little bit early and do that. Reminded this week, too, that one of the things that I am so thankful for is that in the past, and we want to reinstitute this, the elders want to pray with you when you have a prayer need. We've kind of left it to come and ask us if you need to be prayed over. I think we need to be more intentional. I'm looking at my other two elders here and say, need to be more intentional, and we'll just kind of drift over that direction. If we're not on worship team or we don't have some responsibility that up here, we'll just kind of drift over there at the end of the service, and if you need to be prayed for, just come on over. Let us pray with you about that. Whatever that is that you want prayed for. What makes devoting ourselves to prayer with thanksgiving difficult for us is that we can't always see how God is working in us and in the lives of the people around us, because His ways are higher than our ways. We just don't know. But yet we still, in faith, devote ourselves to prayer with a thankful heart. That's why it says we should continue in faith, living our lives with faith and patience, with some action involved. We need to do something. The writer of the Hebrews reminds us to remain faithful and endure regardless of the present situation. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. We then are workers together with God to demonstrate His loyal love and goodness to the world around us. His love endures forever, we sang. His loyal love. We're called to demonstrate His loyal love and goodness to the world around us. That should inform how we pray with thanksgiving. God actually calls us to pray beyond our own needs. I mean, we know this. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, if all of your prayer is centered around yourself, that's a very narrow window for prayer. Praying beyond our own needs. We're called as Christians to intercede for those around us, beginning not just with those that we know or that are closest to us, but also to those in positions of authority. 1 Timothy 2, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. That's pretty. Pray for everybody, okay? Ask God to help them, okay? Got it? Intercede on their behalf, okay? And give thanks for them. Some people are hard to give thanks for. just the way it is. Pray this way for kings, president, Supreme Court, congressmen. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity, or honesty is another way it's said, marked by dignity and godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. So the exhortation to Timothy here is we just don't pray for the people we like. Not a prayer just for what we want God to do for us. This prayer is not just that we would live quiet and peaceful lives. It goes beyond that. You find it hard sometimes to pray for your government leaders? Maybe some of you do. I do. You know. Gary mentioned that in the call to worship this morning. Praying for our government leaders. According to 1 Timothy 2, we pray so that we can live in peace and quiet, but also that our lives are marked by godliness and dignity, or godliness and honesty. You living out your life, your Christian walk, in dignity and honesty and godliness is necessary for people to be saved. God saves people as they observe you living your life out in dignity and godliness. It's necessary if people are to come to a knowledge of the truth. I was chatting with Skip by email this week, and I said I'm going to steal some of what we talked about by email after we were discussing my message on Tuesday night, and he brought up a couple of really good questions. How do Christians in radical, oppressive regimes pray for their leaders who want to silence them or even kill them? How do you pray for leaders of countries that want to snuff out Christianity? You know, God, I don't know how they pray. God's ways are beyond our ways. I know that He's using it some way to bring Him glory. You often hear them say, I'm not praying that God would take us out of this hard situation, but that He would help us to remain strong in the midst of the situation. I think that's valid, although I don't have a lot of firsthand experience talking to people who've been in Evin prison in Iran or anything like that, but how do they pray? God's ways are beyond our ways and our understanding. Proverbs 21 reminds us, the king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He turns it wherever He pleases. What might God be accomplishing during our time right now? We're reading a book together at home, kind of a devotional commentary on the book of Revelation. And the guy just flat out said, I think Jesus is coming back as he's writing this, in my lifetime, he says. I believe He's coming back, and He may, we don't know. What might God be accomplishing as things get more and more difficult and what is happening in the United States begins to mirror what's happening in so many places around the world, that oppressive attack on Christianity? For many of us, it's going to lead to a deeper walk and trust in God. I think less fretting and more dependence on God is a good thing. Hard to do sometimes. I want to challenge you and I to expand our prayers, that He would broaden our hearts to love other people that are different than us, perhaps even those we disagree with, that our faith would be deepened and trust in Him during these uncertain times. Pray for our president. Pray for our vice president. Pray for those in authority over us, for our national legislators, for our Supreme Court justices. Never more important than it is right now. And this prayer is to be made with thanksgiving, even though we don't see the answer. We don't see a change in behavior on their part. We're still supposed to pray for them. In this Thanksgiving season, our thanks naturally goes to God for our future. He's our future hope. Our future hope is in Him, and we can be thankful for that, for what He's doing in us. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, "But thank God, He has made us His captives." You thankful for being a captive, for being a slave of Christ? That's one of the things we don't. Lord, thank you that you made me a slave of you. You made me a captive and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, our fragrance is stinky. They want to eliminate it. They want to push it away. But it isn't just at Thanksgiving that we give thanks for the food and family and friends. We give thanks to God that He continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession, it says. So it's this transforming and overcoming power of God that's shown on our behalf that causes us to give thanks always and every day. His goodness is made known to us, in us, and through us to the world. We sang at the beginning, 10,000 years and then forevermore. Think about this. We're never going to exhaust our giving thanks to God. 10,000 years. I'm in my 60s. I can't even fathom 100 years, much less 10,000 years and then forevermore. It's like, oh, and Lord, I want to thank you for this. Oh, and I want to thank you for this. And can I thank you for this? Forever. We'll never exhaust thanking God for things. I encourage you to reflect and think through individually and as a family the many things that you can be thankful for. And just go beyond a nice home and a good meal and family and friends. Begin to thank God for what He's done in your life. He saved you. He called you. Nobody can snatch you out of His hand. There's a lot of things to be thankful for. And go on and on and on. 10,000 years and then forevermore we'll be doing that. I'm going to close with a quote from Jerry Bridges. How many of you own a book by Jerry Bridges? About half of us. That's really good. He's always a good read. He takes complex theological things and kind of puts it down on a level for all of us to understand. When he talks about fruitfulness or what it means to live a disciplined life as a Christian, he does. He makes it on an understandable. Everyone should have at least one Jerry Bridges book. I don't even, just one of them. Doesn't matter which one. They're all good. Got to hear him years ago before he passed away. He spoke at Western Seminary to a group of pastors. And just the humility with which he stood up and talked about the goodness of God and what he was thankful for in a man in his 80s. For years, he worked with the Navigators. Here's this guy in his 80s that young people and college people want to listen to. That's rare. Most young people, when you hit your 80s, it's like, next generation, please, you're too old. But he had a way of just taking complex theological concepts and just putting it down on ground level. So just go order a Jerry Bridges book and just read it. It's good. Here's what he says about thankfulness. He says, thankfulness to God is a recognition that God, in His goodness and faithfulness, has provided for us and cared for us both physically and spiritually. It is a recognition that we are totally dependent upon Him, that all we are and have comes from God. We are totally dependent upon Him. How often it is to forget that we are totally dependent upon Him. Always thankful. Now that quote, along with the verses that I've taken us through this morning and we've unpacked, is a good place for us really to land as we head into this Thanksgiving week. So let me encourage you, be always thankful this week. Everything that's going to happen this week will not be easy. Some of the stuff you are going through is not easy right now. It's difficult. You have questions and things like that. But we're called to be always thankful. Let's pray together.